Willkommen zu dieser 7. Ausgabe von Power to the People oder auch alle, die bei Europe Calling mitzählen, Ausgabe 190. Mein Name ist Maximilian Fries, ich bin der Geschäftsführer von Europe Calling und hier neben mir seht ihr auch schon Sarah Hindel von Mehr Demokratie, die das heute Abend moderieren wird. Ich melde mich nur zu Beginn jetzt mit ein paar Hausmitteilungen und dann übergebe ich an Sarah. Wie schon gesagt, wir werden heute eine Mischung aus Deutsch, Englisch, Französisch und Italienisch sprechen. Und ich danke schon mal allen unseren 6 Dolmetscherinnen dafür, dass sie das heute wieder so großartig machen. In der Kontrollleiste könnt ihr das, wie gesagt, einstellen. Wenn ihr Fragen habt, nutzt gerne die Q&A oder F&A-Funktion in Zoom. Dann kann ich euch da direkt antworten und eine Nachricht an Sarah schicken, wenn sie euch drannehmen soll. Und wie immer wird das Experiment, nenne ich es heute mal, ist nicht wirklich ein Webinar, so eine Mischung, aufgezeichnet und dann danach auf YouTube mal als Podcast online gestellt. Beachtet das einfach, wenn ihr Fragen stellt. Nun geht es los und ich übergebe an Sarah für die einführenden Worte. Over to you, Sarah.
She will introduce
Vielen Dank,
the topic.
Moritz.
Thank you very much,
Herzlich
Max.
willkommen auch von meiner Seite.
A
Ich darf
heartfelt
euch heute
welcome
Abend
to
durch
you
den
all
Abend leiten und
tonight.
der Max hat es
I
schon
will be moderating
angesprochen. Es
this
wird
meeting.
wieder
Max
etwas
has
Besonderes
already
ablaufen
mentioned it.
heute und da
It
bitten wir euch
will
einfach, euch
be
ein bisschen
a
darauf
bit of a
einzulassen und ich erkläre
special
auch nachher gleich, wie das
meeting
alles ablaufen
here
wird. Aber
tonight,
jetzt
and
erstmal,
I will
genau,
be
ganz
explaining
offiziell
that
herzlich willkommen.
in a
Genau,
little
es ist eine
while
Veranstaltung
in more
heute aus der Reihe von
detail.
Power to the
It
People.
is
Es ist eine
a
Reihe, die
meeting
wir
of
fast seit
power
einem Jahr
to the
machen
people.
mit
It's
verschiedenen
a
Partnern
series
der
of meetings that
Demokratie
we
und
started one and a
Callings,
half
EY
years ago
und Alternatives,
with
ECI-Kampagne und viele
European
mehr.
Alternatives,
Es ist einfach
ECI campaign
transnational
and
orientierte
all sorts of other
Veranstaltung, die ganz frei immer nur aus Gedanken
associations,
einer
really
Mitgliedsgruppe einer
transnational
europäischen
in its
Zivilgesellschaft
perspective,
aufzubauen,
because we
in der wir
wanted
alle uns
to
als
build
Bürgerinnen und
a
Bürger
European
einer
civil
gemeinsamen
society
europäischen
where we all
Demokratie
as
wahrnehmen,
citizens
gegenseitig
find
Vertrauen miteinander
ourselves
erfahren. Das ist
in
das Ziel
open
der ganzen Reihe
discourse
und das ist auch das
in
Ziel
a
heute Abend.
democratic way. And that is
Ja,
also the
heute haben wir auch ein
objective of
ganz
tonight's
konkretes Thema
meetings.
und es sind
We
die
have a very
anstehenden
concrete
EU-Wahlen,
topic,
die am
the
9. Juni stattfinden werden, also
European
knapp 2 Wochen
elections coming
Die
up,
Wahl ist ja der
taking
große
place
Moment der
on the
Demokratie,
9th
der
of
Moment, in dem
June.
unsere Stimmen zählen,
Two weeks
wo wir als
time
Souverän
still to
gemeinsam bestimmen,
go,
wer uns
and that really
repräsentieren
is
soll, wo es für
a
5 Jahre
very
geht.
special
Und
moment
uns geht
because
es heute
we can all
speziell darum,
decide on
in
who will
dieses
be governing
Ereignis heute
us
mit
for the next
hineinzugehen. Wir
5 years,
wollen euch
and
fragen,
we
was
really
euch
want to have
diese
a
Wahl
closer look at
bedeutet,
it.
was
We
sie
want to
heute
know from you
auslöst, was
what
sie heute
these
für euch
elections
bedeutet, was
mean
es
to
bedeutet,
you,
faire
what
Europäer
it
zu sein,
means to you to
die
be a
Hoffnung in
European,
Europa
what
verbindet,
hopes you
aber auch die
connect
Ängste und
with
die
Europe,
Erwartungen
but
haben.
also which
Ja, um das
anxieties
gemeinsam zu
and
machen, haben wir uns
which
ein hochgradig
challenges you can make
spannendes
out. And
Programm
that is
überlegt und
why
das wird
we
heute
came
wie
up
folgt
with a
abgelaufen sein.
fascinating
Ich kann
program
gerne
for
euch
tonight's
mal
meeting,
eine
and
Folie
Max
zeigen.
will probably be able
Die seht
to
ihr gleich
share the
Zusammenfassung, wie das
transparency
machen und
with
ich kläre es auf.
you right
Als
now.
erstes werden wir
We will be
einsteigen mit 3
starting
Gästen,
with
die
three
uns
guest
jeweils 10 Minuten
speakers,
Impuls geben
and
werden.
they will
Das sind ganz
be
verschiedene
giving
Impulse, die uns
keynote
einfach verschiedene
addresses.
Perspektiven
Very
vorstellen werden,
different
uns anregen,
perspectives will be
inspiriert
covered
sollen. Für
in
den
order
Lauf
to
des
inspire
Abends gibt
us,
es nämlich
and
den
then we
Hauptblock.
will be
Da geht
moving
es dann
on to
um
the
Sie, um
central
euch, um
block of
uns,
our
allen, die Bürgerinnen und Bürger der
seminar that
Geschichte
we will
der
be
EU.
talking
Und in
about
diesem Teil der Veranstaltung werden wir
ourselves,
alle
about the
bewusst durch
citizens
jeweils
of
Gruppen
Europe,
gehen, in
and we will
zufällig
be
ausgewählte Gruppen. Wir
put
schicken euch dann
into
in
small
Breakout
groups of
Räume.
four
Dort habt ihr die
randomly
Chance, euch
selected
miteinander
citizens,
gegenseitig zu
and you will
begegnen.
be
Jede
in a
Räume hat
breakout
Zeit
room
für
where
einen
you meet
Austausch.
each other.
Dann
You
ist
have a
Austausch
time to
bestimmten Regeln
exchange,
ablaufen.
and the
Räume und
exchange will
Zeitpunkte
have
zu
to follow
zeigen, die heute
certain
Abend
rules because the short
zusammenhängen,
time that we have
möglichst
available
nutzlos.
here tonight
Um das zu
should
erreichen,
be
geht es nicht
used
unbedingt darum, dass
in
jeder von uns
an
möglichst viel spricht,
normal,
sondern es geht
perfect way.
darum,
So
die
it's not
anderen
a
und sich
question
selbst
of
möglichst
speaking
gut
as much as you
wahrzunehmen.
can,
Und
but
wahrnehmen
the question
funktioniert nicht
is
nur so in
how
einer
you
kognitiven Ebene.
can
Also es geht nicht nur darum,
meet
einen
the
Tisch
other
stehen zu haben, der
persons
einem
in your
gerade,
breakout
sondern
room.
es geht darum,
So
die anderen
please
und sich
try and
selbst
make
wirklich zu
sure
spüren, in
that
dem,
you
was wir
simply
sagen.
feel
Es geht also
what
weniger um
the
den
other
Austausch von
persons are saying.
Argumenten,
So
sondern
we're
mehr
not
um
going to
Gefühle,
exchange
Stimmung,
arguments. We
Emotionen,
really want to
Bedürfnisse,
share
sich
our
hinter diesen Argumenten zu
emotions,
stellen.
our
Das
desires,
ist eine
our
Ebene,
hopes,
die wir
our
heute versuchen wollen zu
anxieties, our
erforschen. Und
fears and so on. That is
nur
the
damit ihr auch ein
level
bisschen
of
versteht,
exchange we would like to
warum
reach
ist das
here
unser
tonight.
Anliegen? And why do we go for that? Well, because we defend the argument that we live in a free and open society, and it is a great gift that we can live in such a way. But in an open society, people are very, very different, and we determine our own lifestyle and our way of life. You can choose the way of life that you want to pursue, and that, of course, is very good, but we're at the same time very different, and we know that we can only move forward and progress together in a democracy. So, bearing in mind that we are diverse and very different from one another, we simply have to take note of each other and be open to each other. It's not the point of really being of the same opinion. Of course, a variety and opposite opinions are allowed and present. And that is what we would like to exchange. Despite the diversified views, we want to maintain the contact with other people, and we have to exercise the dialogue with someone else. That is something that we would almost like to train here tonight. That's the experiment we're trying to organize here tonight. And there will be a few rules before we break out into the groups. I will be explaining that again. And I hope that it is almost clear what I mean, but we will be giving you an example before we actually break out into the smaller groups. We will be two or three people joining up in such an exchange, and you will be guided by that example, and then you can move into the breakouts and do the little exercise yourself. After the group experience, we will be gathering again in the plenary, and we will gather some feedback, and you will be able to report from your own experience, and you will be able to tell us what you think about the experiment. So that is our program for tonight. But we will now start with our wonderful guest speakers. And the very first input will come from Paul Blocker. He's a sociologist and a researcher on democracy and social movements and European politics. And he works for the time being at the University of Bologna. And we look forward to your presentation, Paul. You have the floor, and you may share your screen now. We are happy to have you.
Thank you so much, Sarah. I'm most happy to be part of this, in a way, experiment. And I'm going to guide you briefly through, indeed, various reasons of why people tend to vote or not to vote, indeed, in the European elections. I have to say, I mean, I think it's a really exciting topic, but I myself already voted, since I'm a Dutch citizen, but I live in Italy. So that makes it a bit different for me, but I hope it's still of use also for our discussions in the breakout rooms later. So I suppose a standard reason why people go out and vote in something so peculiar in a way, that is the European parliamentary elections, is because of reasons of being attached in one way to the one way or the other to the European Union. This is a message you would, for instance, read in something like the Eurobarometer. And here I'm showing some data that comes from the latest Eurobarometer of this spring. So it's really kind of preparing for the European elections. You see a sort of overwhelming enthusiasm for the European Union. People think that the EU has a lot of influence on their daily lives, more than two-thirds, that there are benefits for their country being part of the European Union. The Eurobarometer even shows an increasingly positive view of the European Parliament And a lot of European citizens would actually like to see the European Parliament to play a more important role. And one of the outcomes that is interesting is that apparently 70 or more percent of European citizens says that they will go out and vote. If you remember the 2019 elections, it was around 50%. So if this was really to materialize, it would be a huge boost. We, of course, have to wait and see there. So a pro-EU attitude might be one reason for voting. A different, more instrumental approach perhaps would be specific concerns. And again, in this European opinion poll, the Eurobarometer, what comes out of that is the top three is really the first issue is fight against poverty, against social exclusion. Number two is a concern for public health. And the third one is the economy and job provision. What is a bit surprising here is that you don't really see issues like security and defense or the environment coming in the top three. Maybe that's something we could discuss later. We also don't see clearly a concern with democracy, which is our main topic, I suppose, here. A third reason would be, and that's one of the most important concerns this time around with the European elections, but also in reality with the last couple of editions, that is, some people go and vote because they actually don't like the European project. They want something else. It's interesting here in pink, you see, particularly the far right, there seems to be a lot of people that intend, when they intend to go to vote against the existing institutions, the existing policies, etc. And the fourth concern might be, this would be, for instance, my own personal concern, is being very much worried about our national democracies, about European democracy, and also about anti-democratic forces coming increasingly to the center of our democratic systems. As you can see here, again, in a bit of a complex graph from the Eurobarometer of this spring, democracy and the rule of law are only eighth in terms of matters of concern in different member states. Myself, being Dutch, where the far right just won the elections, I find it peculiar to see that my co-citizens apparently are not much concerned about democracy. And here you see something that comes directly from the kitchen, let's call it like that, from a transnational civil society coalition I'm collaborating with, I'm part of, Citizens Take Over Europe. We have been monitoring the European party manifestos to the extent of which they have been engaging themselves with democratic innovation, with concern for democracy. So we just talked about the demand for democracy from citizens, apparently not many people that concerned about democracy. Also, the European parties seem not that concerned about it. This is a bit of raw data. What you see here is basically we tested the European party manifestos, their political programs, in relation to 10 points of what we've written as a democratic manifesto. If you're interested in signing up and backing up that manifesto, you see internet link on the upper right hand side. We're also turning this a little bit more into social media type of communication. Here we use a kind of traffic light indication of how many of the political parties are actually concerned about democracy and particularly also want to strengthen democracy, like creating a European Union level referendum, having citizen participation in the case the treaties of the EU are changed, setting up a permanent citizens assembly. As you can see here, a lot of parties don't pay much attention to that. Maybe only the Greens, Volt, and to a certain extent DiEM25 are actually explicitly expressing concern about this in their political party programs. So that was briefly reasons to vote, different types of concerns. But of course, we should also talk about the other side. And actually, we talk about that much less, it seems to me. Why people are actually not going to vote? Why are they not really interested in going out there? Well, in the longer run, we know that since there is a European Parliament that is directly elected since 1979, there's a steep decline. It's only in the last European elections that we see some kind of boost. But even there, I think one could be critical and argue that in some countries, decline has been going on, like in the country I'm living in, Italy, for instance. And also that there's an important concern that some groups vote much less. Young people came out more in 2019, but they still, to a larger extent, as you can see here in a report after the elections in 2019 of the European Parliament, younger people, even if they voted more in 2019, still some 60% or so in 2019 of people between 18 and 24 years of age, they didn't turn out to vote. So that's clearly a point of concern if we think that elections and voting are important. More in generally, the main point you often hear, particularly amongst academics, experts, is that one of the big reasons people don't vote is these elections are secondary. There's really not that much at stake, so people are less interested. Or a second point, and therefore I also put the graphic on the slide. People might simply be against the European Union, be Eurosceptic, or largely indifferent. They don't really care about the European Union. I put this particular graph because I just said in the Netherlands, in national elections, the far right won the elections. Apparently, if you ask people who voted the far right in the Netherlands, are you going to vote in the European Union elections, they tend to be less interested. That's interesting in its own right, I think. Also, a third reason might be important. People just don't care about politics. A fourth point is also interesting, I think, and it's, for instance, measured a lot in this Eurobarometer. People have all kinds of pragmatic obstacles. They are on holiday. They are sick. They forget about going to vote. And they forgot that there were actually elections and so on. So there's also a whole range of pragmatic obstacles. And then fifth, and I already mentioned this, young people apparently have less interest. They have never voted before. They don't have the habit. They might not come out and vote. And this brings me to the last part of my brief overview, related to a survey that I started up with the National Agency for Erasmus in Italy and a number of other European Erasmus agencies with young people between 18 and 34. And we're really interested in how people think about politics, European elections, to what extent is Erasmus mobility important for democratic engagement. And by the way, you see the QR code. The thing is still open, the survey. So if you are in that age group and you want to participate, please go ahead. So far, we have around 2,000 and a little bit more responses. And I'm just providing you with some interim results that may also help us to think creatively and critically about the European elections. This result is maybe not so surprising. It's just like in the Eurobarometer, optimism of young people. 70% say that they think their vote is important in the European parliamentary elections. But it's also important to realize the red and the orange parts of the pie. Some people don't think it's important to vote, or they don't know, they don't care. And so I put some of the open answers people gave, young people gave, for why they don't vote. For instance, they don't think the European Parliament is important. They think national elections are more important. They lost trust in the system. They think voting in general doesn't make much sense because you're one in 300-400 million people. And that brings me to the final point. And this is actually a prelude to what Yves Saint-Omer is going to talk about. Is democracy only about elections? So in our survey with young people, we also asked about this. And so we had a question about, do you think democracy is more than just elections? overwhelming amount says, yes, I think democracy is also other things. Direct democracy, referenda, citizens' assemblies, or a little bit less people think that protest and civil disobedience are equally very important parts of democracy. And that brings me to the final slide, and then I will stop because I'm probably over time. A question about citizens' assemblies, one of our concerns, one of our interests, one of the ideas we have in terms of innovating democracy. There, a lot of young people actually said, if there would be one tomorrow, I would be really willing to participate there. So apparently young people less interested in voting, perhaps, but a lot of interest in different types of democracy, new types of democracy, different types of engagement. I will stop there, and sorry if I went a bit over time, but...
It's okay.
Okay, thank you so much.
It's okay. Yeah, it's okay, Paul. Thank you very much. Okay, ich werde jetzt in Deutsch weiterreden und nicht hin und her springen. But thank you,
and I'm going to speak in German now. Thank you very much, Paul, for this input. Your time slot nearly at least.
And I'm now. And then I will switch to German back. I'm sorry. But I'm now very happy to welcome Amy Vaikane. She is an artist and an activist and a poet person and a producer person, and she's dealing with all different kinds of topics, but also with democracy and disenfranchisement. And we are very happy, Amy, that you are with us today, and I'm looking forward to your input. And now you have 10 minutes of our time.
Perfect. Good evening, or good evening. Good evening, everyone. My name is Amy Vaikane, and I am an Afro-European, as people usually define me, living in Europe for 26 years now. So I'm very interested on the European election, even if I don't have a European citizenship. And my question here is what it is to be European, who is European, as we people living there since like... more than one generation are considered as European or not? Or how long do we have to live, breathe, work, pay taxes, culturally being completely involved to be considered a European? Or is it 5 years, 10 years, 15 years? Is it a matter of a citizenship or not? Because my input today is about talking about people. I know there's politics, there's economics, there's all of these figures and numbers that we really need to seek what it is the best Europe, you know. But my question is about inclusivity. My question is about what it is to be European. I arrived in Europe, I was really young, like less than under 20. My entire life was in Europe, even if I'm from a country named Senegal. So I have a hybrid experience and a hybrid culture. What I realize is like we are many. A lot of people are like me. We are impacted first at the first core by all the law that the European Parliament can take. And locally, in the country I was living and I'm living is like France. We are impacted and hardly impacted by all the decisions that are made during the European election and then the local elections. So I really, really hope that the young people, like my kids that are around 20 and 14, 14 is too young to vote, but 20 can vote, thinking about their parents and their grandparents grandparents that are really suffering from the European law. What it is here today, what it is like to be, what it is a democracy and what it is to be inclusive. I'm really raising questions based on my experience. I cannot vote because I don't have like a European passport. Of course, you cannot vote in Senegal if you don't have a Senegalese passport. My recommendation, my hope, like for a better future for the generation coming, like my kids and my future grandkids, is like, how can we be involved in a Europe where we are already involved economically by working there, paying taxes there, doing everything there, and participating in the local economy on an everyday life? What can we do for people like me to really have a word, to be out of this limbo where we cannot vote in our countries where we came from or where our parents came from? We don't have the right passport, but we all know that the trends in Europe is like going more hard right. You know, we have like a lot of example in front of us in Europe to see that the political decisions are more like nationalist, they're more conservative, and they're helping like people that think that European is to be, to have like a European citizenship and to be white, helping them a lot. So we have like Italy, Finland, Slovakia, Hungary, Czech Republic, and we have like country like Sweden where I'm married that are relying on the more hard right parties. So we people like this, the thing is like we the people, like Afro-European, European descendant, having like European kids, being European, modern Senegalese, who are we and where are we? On the EP, who is really taking care of those people like us, and what can we hope for? What can we hope for? I am aware of the fact that we cannot just like out of a sudden, because we have like spent 26, 30 years in a country in Europe, have the citizenship and have the right to vote, but we could have a voice. We could have a voice. How can we draw a system where people like me can have a voice? Because, you know, when laws are voted from the first court and the first line is me and my people. We have discrimination, we have racism, we have everything. It's super hard to find an apartment. I will not share with you how much taxes I'm paying since 26 years and no advantage coming. So who is our voice? Who will be our voice? Who will be there for people like us to really help us have a voice? So really people need to vote. They need to vote because they are European, that's true. But they need to vote because also they have to be aware on the fact that Europe is not white and of European citizenship only. Europe is there today because there is a large, large, large number of immigrant people that have been to the university, that have degrees like me, PhD of this, PhD of that, working there, participating in the everyday life, making the European life easier, and not having any kind of advantage when it's come to vote, any kind of advantage when it's come to just like be European, what it is to be European. So there's a lot of campaign out there talking about inclusivity. People need to be inclusive. People need to be more aware. And it's a little bit paradox for me when I see that the campaign, I just dare to be campaign, but in the real life, people are going far more and more and more right, more and more nationalistic, and leave us in a limbo. So I wrote an article on the European Alternative Journal because I'm a board member, a transnational board member of European Alternative, because I believe in Europe. You know, I have gave my young years, my experience, my brain, everything to this continent, right? So I think that I have the right to live in Europe and to feel a little bit at home in Europe. If I don't feel at home in Europe where my voice is unheard, what are we going to do with people like us? Are we going to be used just to grow the economy, bring more money, pay our taxes without being able to have a loan when you don't have the good citizenship? Not being able to circulate like from Sweden to France easily, because even if we have like a long permit residency, we still considered as non-European. Are we going to keep on stay like voiceless, but being the first victim of racist law? Everyone is waiting to do something, LGBT, the immigrant and everything. That's fine. But how can we really make us exist? And this is the reason why I joined the European Alternative. The European Alternative, they're here to draw another spectrum of how it is possible to make a better Europe, which is like really taking in consideration people. And Europe is not a matter of color, it's not a matter of citizenship. It's a matter of experience and people living there. And I joined that board in European Alternative because we are trying to put some action on the table every day to bring awareness on what it is Europe exactly. You know, we are a kind of a piece of big fabric. And in the European Alternative, people are coming from everywhere, but they're all European. They're all European. We don't need the citizenship to be European. We are all European. And all the action that are put on the table come from decolonization. It comes from eco-feminism, voiceless people, push people to vote. We had just a seminar in Marseille, having a journal, bringing awareness, really waking up people, young people, pushing people and putting action. We have a festival, Trans Europa Festival, using art, music, all tools are okay. You know, it's not only about being academic and being from a university, which I am as well, but I'm an artist as well, you know, and we are trying to gather more and more and more people to see this is the new tissue and fabric of a European people. So my entire intervention is about question, and I really hope that the EP can hear this type of person and questioning, like we need we need somewhere where we can be heard. We need somewhere where we can exist. No one can live, no human being can live in a limbo. I am from Africa. I see European people in Africa. I see how involved they are in political, they're influenced here, they're influenced there. It's because they have been given a small space where they can exist, right? I think this is a right to exist in Europe. You don't have no name for me because I'm European. But when it's come to put legally stuff, I have no name and I have no voice. And again, we are many, 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 many like me. We were at Sorbonne University. We did Sciences Politiques. We are at University of Orléans. We are everywhere. We are not only behind restaurant, like working in the dark. And we need to be heard. How can we be heard on a European election? That's my main question. How can we be heard on a European election? And how can we draw a system that help people like me that have spent more than 25 years on a European continent, that have a European culture? How can we draw a system where they can be heard, where they can have a small impact on the European election? That's what my question.
Thank you.
You're
thank
welcome.
Thank you, Amy. No, I'm so thankful for your input, because you already did what we're trying to do later. You told us from your heart how it feels, you as a person confronting this event, the European elections, how you feel about it, how it is for your people. That's exactly what we try to do later in the breakouts, that we all share like our personal perspective on this kind of event and how we have hopes that things can change also. So I'm very happy for your input. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
So glad that you could join tonight. Okay, but that's not the, we have another one. We have another input for you people, which is Yves Saint-Omer. I'm very happy, Yves, that you are here tonight with us. Yves is a very known political science person, and he has written an interesting book about selection, about citizen assemblies and the selection, how we can do democracy differently. And I'm very looking forward to your input now, Yves. If you have slides, you can share them. And your 10 minutes start now. Thank you.
Thank you very much for this invitation. I've learned a lot from the two previous papers, presentations. And so I am very happy to be here and to be able to discuss with you today. As said, we can't say that European citizens will not vote. There was a declining trend until the 1914 elections, but it seems to be reversed. And if the numbers that Paul have given are verified in a couple of weeks, then we'll go in the direction of the same level compared to the first European elections in 79. In addition, the trust in the EU is low, less than 50%, but increasing to some extent. The lowest level was a decade or two decades ago, and now it is going better. So we could say, Well, after all, European democracy is going well, and elections are central in this European democracy. Still, perhaps part of the vote is something which is not so optimistic than what I've said previously. First of all, some people, and we've seen this in Paul's presentation, will vote for another European Union, a more xenophobic, a more intolerant, a more authoritarian Europe. And this is growing. So the place of the people coming from outside Europe, who, as the previous speaker have said, live here since years, since decades, will be more difficult in the near future. In addition, it's not because you vote that the only concern in the political institutions is elections. And I think that democracy, and again, I'm very happy that Paul had numbers on this, a lot of people, especially young people, think that democracy exists also beyond elections. Beyond elections, when you look at the dictionaries, it seems that elections and democracy are nearly the same. If you add human rights and the rule of law, then you have democracy. But this has been true in a relatively short historical period. A couple of decades after World War II, in the countries in the world which were at the center, who could take advantage of all the resources of the world and redistribute some of them to their citizens. And I think that this historical period is over, and that in Europe, the next years and decades, the situation will be much more complicated. It is not because you are elected that you are viewed, considered as legitimate by the citizenry. And I think that if you look at the different European countries, most of them, in most of them, there is a distrust which is growing towards the political system, and there is a wish to participate more, or at least that other channels of participation are open and can really influence public policies and the real life of the people. There are mostly three institutional directions for in these innovation, democratic innovations: participatory democracy, deliberative democracy, and direct democracy. And I will explain briefly each of them one after the other. First, participatory democracy. In Europe, you have elections, you have MEPs, but you have also a lot of lobbies who are quite active and influential in Brussels. Also the NGOs, all kinds of NGOs who are also very influential, but NGOs are accountable not to the citizenry, but to the donors. You also have civil society organizations, but they are at the same level of lobbies and have much less expertise than lobbies to influence real public policy at EU level. So there are a lot of proposals to develop participatory democracy, both at subnational, national, and EU level. And participatory democracy means that you open the floor to everybody who wants to take part in the conversation. And it means that mostly those citizens who are organized can be active and influential. They can be active and influential in the streets, in social movements. We've seen how farmers have been quite influential when they blocked a lot of streets in Europe. But the idea of democratic innovations in the direction of participatory democracy is to open institutional channels in addition to the public sphere for people who are mobilized and who want to raise their voice, to make their voice heard, even though they have not the EU citizenship and they live in Europe. The second possibility of democratic innovations has been what has been called in the academy deliberative democracy, namely to select through random selections, through sortition, citizens in order to make an assembly of ordinary people, lay citizens, who will discuss on a public issue. Recently, there has been a conference on the future of Europe with citizens, randomly selected, members of national parliaments, members of EU parliaments, representatives of civil society. It has not been a great success because it has remained behind closed doors. The European public sphere has not been aware of this initiative, but it is a sign that something could move on this level. And a number of civil society organizations are making claims to institute a permanent EU citizens assembly, which would be randomly selected. Why? First, because these citizens have no personal interest or party interest at stake and could discuss for the common good. Second, because this citizen assembly would be much more sociologically representative. You will find in this assembly people who live in Europe without the EU citizenship, young people who are nearly absent in the EU Parliament, people from working class backgrounds who are again nearly absent in the EU parliaments, ethnic minorities such as gypsies or religious minorities, a much more representative sample of the people. And therefore, this will enable a conversation much more inclusive, a much richer conversation in order to propose and perhaps take part in the decisions on the future of the EU. I have written, I put the book, which was advertised by previously. The third way is direct democracy. Not that many European citizens do know that there is something called the European Initiative, the European Citizen Initiatives, which make it possible when you have 1 million signatures in a number of countries to ask the Commission and the EU Parliament to discuss about an important issue. This is only a weak version of direct democracy and citizen initiative that we know in Switzerland, for example, or at local level and regional level in countries like Germany. In this citizens' initiative, when they are well organized and well done, you can really decide on a public topic. It's not just a consultation, it's a decision making. And in a country like Switzerland, citizens can vote 3 or 4 times a year on a number of issues, say 15 issues in the whole year, and decide about it. The European Citizens Initiative is much less strong. It's only a proposal for discussing an issue and an influence which is indirect. This is not enough. To some extent, it has been done in order to avoid real direct democracy in Europe, and this would be a venue for promoting democracy beyond elections. Conclusion. I think the future is not yet decided. A lot of people, both in the academy, in civil society organizations, in think tanks, in NGOs, try to propose a deliberative and participatory system in which elections will be only part of the system, a central part, but only a part, complemented with other institutional mechanisms in order to have more roots in for the European democracy. I think that beyond the good numbers of the people, of the turnout of people who will vote in the next elections, we are in a very dangerous period. I don't think that now, without the mass political parties which existed during a couple of decades after World War II, with a growing distrust at national level against the political system, we can go on like this. But status quo, I think, is not an option. So there are a number of democratic innovations, but they usually are very weak and don't influence public policy. They don't change the real life of the people. Very often, most EU citizens don't even know their existence. And within the institutions, there is a kind of invisible ceiling which blocks more important innovations. I think that without important bottom-up movements or a huge crisis, one can be pessimistic about the future of European democracy, although a lot of people will vote in the next elections. An Italian intellectual and politician, Antonio Gramsci, said 1 century ago that we should be pessimistic with the intellect, but optimistic with the will. And I think that this is true also today. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Yves. Thank you for that input. Okay. Yes. With that, thank you to you. I'm going to go and switch back to German, which is a little bit confusing, but I hope everybody can follow me. Okay, genau, weil jetzt nach den drei Inputs...
Now, after the three keynote presentations, following these three inputs, it is your turn now, because the objective of tonight's meeting is that we get to know each other a little better as European citizens. And I had already announced that we will be breaking out into separate rooms, and we will be exchanging with one another. And it's not the idea that you simply offer your opinion and then somebody else offers their opinion. No, we really want to exchange and engage with each other. And I think the effect is quite different if you follow the rules that I shall be explaining. They're not complicated at all. And I think you will be able to dive a little deeper and go beyond the exchange of national arguments and get a feel for the emotions and the feelings behind the arguments offered. And perhaps you can even search your own soul and find out something about your own feeling. So you simply want to achieve more awareness of other people who are in the same room. And it's very simple, it's very straightforward. You will move to the breakout rooms. You will, in the first round, speak each and every one in turn for 3 minutes. So the first person in the room will speak for 3 minutes. And during that time, this person will be the sole speaker and the other ones will be actively listening. And they won't interrupt, they won't raise questions. The 3 minutes are to that person. And whilst you speak, you will be totally yourself. You will explain what you feel about the elections coming up, what you think about it, whether you have any images that pop up in your mind, what your fears are, what does it mean to you to be able to go to the ballot boxes, and don't refer to external studies or to reports. Simply tell the others what you feel about the elections and this event. And the others should actively listen. So you concentrate on what you hear. You do not judge. You simply try to follow what you hear and to get an idea for what the other person is sharing with you. We will be doing two rounds. So everyone in the room will speak 3 minutes, 3 full minutes. And then you have another second round where everyone again will speak 3 minutes. And your speaking time will not be cut. It will not be limited. So if you cannot carry on because you don't know what else to say, then you simply wait for a little moment and it'll go quiet. But perhaps after a few seconds, you will have another idea that you wish to share. And so after the 3 minutes, you will change over to the next person. You don't have to sit there watching any clock or something like that. We will send you a little message with a timing icon or a clock icon, and then you know, okay, it's time to move to the next speaker in the room. And then there's something else I would like to add. It's also important in the small groups, you can speak your mother tongue. You don't have to speak English or German. You speak your own language so as to make you feel at ease. And for the others to be able to follow you, you can click on automated subtitles. And more, you can click in the lower part of the console on the subtitles, and then you will see what your language, your pre-selected language is, but you can also select other languages popping up under subtitles. We know that it's not perfect because it's an automated translation. It will not be 100% perfect, but that is the big challenge at the European level. We all speak different languages and we depend on such tools to help us communicate amongst each other. So it is also a huge benefit that the technology is so much advanced that we can communicate using such automated translation tools. We know from past experience that a theoretical explanation may not be quite enough, and that is why this time we decided to simply show you how it works. So we will be staying, all of us, in this plenary, and we would like to demonstrate to you what it means to speak a little differently. We have invited three people. I will start, and then Charles will come in, and we also had hoped for a third participant, but unfortunately that person is not here. And perhaps we can be spontaneous, and perhaps I can ask for a volunteer from amongst the plenary. Would you like to be the third person? Don't be afraid, because you can't do anything wrong. You cannot say anything wrong. You cannot make a mistake. And you would be only the third person to be called up, because I will start with my 3 minutes, and then Charles will come in with his 3 minutes, and then the next person, the volunteer, would be coming in. And of course, you can refer to what the others have said previously, but it's not the idea to judge that, but simply to say what it is. And then Albrecht, do I see a hand up? Annabel, would you like to join us as a volunteer? Thank you for switching on your camera. I hope you can hear. I hope you can hear me now. Yes. Would you like to join us in this round? Okay. Very nice. Thanks. And we'll pin you. And you can lower your hand again. And please mute yourself. And then we'll start. I will be clocking the time now, and I shall start. And then Charles will take over, and then Annabel. And I'm really excited. I have no idea what's going to come out, and it'll just be a free flow. Okay, I'm Sarah. I'm from Germany. And well, I have to say, for me, the EU elections feel like a dark cloud on the horizon. I can already see the cloud, and it is moving. It is coming closer. And I am quite active in politics, and I have to say that. Every election nowadays means that we'll be moving further to the right. And that is why I don't feel any longer like celebrating democracy when we go to the ballot boxes, that I'm not really happy to be able to have my say in who governs us. I feel threatened by elections nowadays. It's really a threatening moment. My wonderful, beautiful world is jeopardized, and I just simply hope that we'll survive it, that we'll be fine afterwards. And I think perhaps there are other people who feel like myself, and if I only exchange with them, they will always say, oh yes, but we will progress, and things will be good, and we will be able to determine the future. But these moments of elections, they really are a reality check. And this is what slams things into your face. That's what the situation is. And it brings home to me that we're all in the same boat in democracy. And even if we can self-determine our own way of life, then the majority vote will decide on the future conditions of my political life or of our societal life. I was really touched when Amy said that she is an immigrant, and she doesn't only want to be a worker and contribute economically to our way of life. And I really felt touched because that's what we see in immigrants. We need the workforce, and we really forget about the fact that these people also have dreams and hopes, and if they live here, they should naturally have the right to be heard. Yeah, my 3 minutes are already up, and I would like to pass the floor on to Charles.
Well, thank you very much, Sarah. So I am going to put again also a clock for my 3 minutes. So what do I feel about these European elections? Well, to be honest, I'm rather skeptical and really I feel disenfranchised, really. I think this has nothing to do with, or not just to do with the European elections, but with life in general. Perhaps also this has to do with my work and the work that I do that has to do with another way of doing politics, but to be honest, we put all our political identity in these elections that happen every 5 years, and we cast our vote in secret, in a way. And to be honest, it generates a lot of frustration around what is an election and what it means in terms of emancipation, in terms of the stakes that we are faced with. So I'm not very optimistic, I have to say. And like I said, I feel blasé, jaded, and of course I'm going to vote. I don't even ask myself whether or not I'm going to vote, because I am quite aware of the fact that in spite of all my discrepancies with voting, there are political forces here that are going to come into play, and the other forms of democracy may grow in the future thanks to this vote. So that's this is the reason why I'm going to vote, but I'm going to also take part in campaigns in France. But all this against a background or a backdrop of, let's say, a willingness to go to other forms of democracy, other forms of politicizations. I want to be an activist, for instance, in other social movements and take part in other forms of participatory democracy. Really identify with Yves Saint-Omer just said, and he was indeed quoting Gramsci. He was talking about the pessimism of the intellect and the optimism of the will. And I very much identify with that. And this is the reason why I go on being active in a way. Because as I said, I feel frustrated. And of course, I'm frustrated also because I see that there are challenges ahead that are very urgent. We need to address them, and I don't think that the European construction really is up to par to take up those challenges. So yeah, that was the end of my 3 minutes.
If you could please unmute yourself. The European elections, I really don't know what to think of them. I think that many people are simply giving up on the elections. I understand that. Young people and elderly people have totally lost hope in elections. I did not go to vote in many years because I always thought the end result will be the same anyhow. If I cast my vote, nothing will change. However, when the AfD, the Alternative for Germany, came up, I did go back to voting. But I have to say that I'm really frightened about the election results, particularly with respect to the AfD. I really don't know which direction we will take. And I think people are not aware of what's happening. Many of the topics are not known. Look at Frontex, for example. So many people have no idea what it is, what they do. And the taxpayers in Europe pay for those services. And that's just not acceptable. And the only referendum that ever took place in Germany, you had to register for participating in it. But it was a very simple and straightforward thing. But most of the population wasn't aware of it. It's just people who are interested in politics, people who were in touch with activists from CAMPAC, for example, they knew that this would be taking place. And I think we need to improve the knowledge of things like that. And I would like to raise another very very difficult question, polemic questions on do we live in a democracy at all? Or are politicians so corrupted that they simply present certain positions, but then they are being torn by others and simply follow the call of money in their actions, and it makes me angry and also very sad that our world is governed by money and capital, and the important things are being forgotten. Thanks. Thanks very much, Annabelle. That's 3 minutes already up. Okay, but let's do a second second round. Okay, that's another question that I ask myself frequently. Do we live in a democracy? Is this it? Is democracy limited to casting your vote once every 4 or 5 years? Is that really it? And then being so limited in expressing your opinion in one move, you should say what your reply to all these questions is. I feel so reduced to such a general sweeping reply that I'm asked to give every 5 years, that my view is, well, okay, I do go and cast my vote, because if you don't, then worse things will happen. But once I'm before the ballot box, I feel, wow, this is really something, some sort of progress. We have organized ourselves in a way that really made progress and positive developments possible. So it's good to have democracy per se, but we won't be able to move much further if we globally give an orientation and attach a color to it, maybe. It's just such a sweeping reply. I don't feel recognized as the person that I am, with such multifaceted ideas and desires and hopes. I don't think I'm being recognized. And how can I be sure that they really represent me, those who are elected in the end? So that's something that really depresses me. And I think that elections, the way we organized them, they did work for a long time, but for quite some time, I think they are outdated, and democracy should offer us much more than it actually does right now. Charles.
Yes, indeed. I was listening to you and thinking about this. Okay, we're going to vote for someone, but nothing, of course, is in certainty. There is no guarantee that they will apply what they say they stand for. And there is a lot of distrust. There is some normal distrust, I believe, to have vis-a-vis politicians. Because all elected parties, when they are in power at every level of government, I do believe that they tend to be more conservative than their political platform. My impression is that even left-wing people, basically, once they end up in government, simply apply conservative policies way more so than they defended when they were political candidates. So let's not maybe expect from the government, the elected officials, to actually represent our full point of view in terms of democratic advances. This is basically something I feel very strongly. The first reality at the core of social progress is fighting for it, and very often elections, putting parties in government are only the consequence, not the cause, the consequence of a social unrest, which took hold in the street many years before. The election of François Mitterrand in France has been seen by many as the consequence of May 1968, the major student protest movement. So I do believe that there is a reason to be quite distrustful of what one may expect after elections. And very often, in terms of our democracies, we always raise very abstract questions. Are we in a democracy or not? There is a quote by a researcher called Ronsard asking what is democracy. And he says that the first assumption underlying democracy is that we are all political beings. The capacity to act and to think politically is not based on insights or knowledge or skills. It is our right to all of us. As soon as we are born into societies, we are political beings. And I believe it's important to say so here, because of course it opens up new vistas of political democratic participation processes, new modes of democratic participation in the city. And that's my hope. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you, Charles. Then, Annabelle.
Während der Corona-Zeit habe ich schon
during
gedacht,
the pandemic, I thought, well, perhaps with the progress of digitization, perhaps we could participate more in politics. And not long ago, I participated in a debate, and two politicians said, very clearly said, no, the digitization will have no influence on political decisions. And I think that's very, very sad, because there are so many people who cannot leave their home and move around. And I thought it would be interesting to offer them the possibility to have a digital tool and participate. Perhaps that's just one, just another dream of mine. I never stopped dreaming. And I participate in petitions. I sign petitions every week because I simply hope that that will move politicians to do something in favor of many more people. I also like talking to others. And I hope that we will remain open, all of us will remain open to listen to what others have to say and not simply insist on our own opinion. And I think it's quite funny, a team means is an acronym, and every letter means something else. And in German, it is it would translate as toll ein anderer macht, but it's today everyone achieve together, everyone achieves more. That's what it should be. That's what team should stand for. I think it worked really very well with the spontaneous volunteer Annabelle. I think you all have an idea of how this works now, and I don't want to keep you waiting any longer, and we'll just simply try it out. And everyone who would like to join us now can now go into small groups of four people and be randomly put into a group, into a breakout session. And you will be speaking, every one of you, for 3 minutes, and we tell you when the next one is up. And afterwards, we will reunite here. So, off you go.
Participants now joined the breakout rooms that were not recorded. And afterwards, they came back to the main room for a short personal feedback, which you also didn't record, to protect the privacy of everyone here. If you want to experience this yourself, please join us at our next Power to the People webinar. Until then, good evening or a good day whenever you hear this recording. All the best from the Power to the People group. Bye.